All right. Verse 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. How many is glad there's some things that are surely, most surely believed among us? I told the youth this morning, a lot of people are going to have some sort of celebration for Christmas. They don't mind that babe as long as he stays in that manger. And then they'll go get drunk on New Year's. You heard what I said? In other words, it's really a mockery. Amen? I'm glad there's some things that are most surely believed among us as the children of God. Then the Bible said, even as they delivered them unto us, from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. That's where the Lord spoke to my heart, the certainty of those things. Beloved, this is not a fairy tale that we're celebrating. There are some things for certain. I'll get into it in a little while, but I'm wanting to preach right now. Wherein thou hast been instructed. You can be seated and pray with me for this moment. Father, thank you tonight, or this morning, Lord, for the privilege to be here with your people. God, I thank you for this book that's open before me, for the truths that are contained therein. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, and God, that you would help us in these days. Lord, I know that everybody needs a Savior. Lord, there'll be no going to heaven without the Savior, without the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, without the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, without the one who said, I am the light of the world, without the one who said, I am the bread of life, without the one who cried from the cross of Calvary, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Lord, I'm glad these things are most surely believed among us. And I'm glad, Lord, that we can know the certainty of these things. And I pray, Father, for the next little while that, God, you would just help our minds and our hearts. And Lord, may the light of the gospel shine in our hearts this day. May our hearts be warmed by the truths of the Scripture. And God, I pray that that one that doesn't know you may turn from the error of their way. And God, that they may trust Jesus before everlasting too late. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. I want to remind you this morning that it's not something that I've thought about a lot, but there were basically 400 years of silence between Malachi and John the Baptist. It was a period that for a little while, a couple hundred years or so, the world was kind of sympathetic to the Jews and the Jewish nation. But then under different leaderships, they were persecuted. And then even among the Jews themselves, they began to fracture, to split up into different groups. The Pharisees was one of the groups that held to the tradition and the legalistic aspect of things. And then the Sadducees, they would only adhere to Moses' law, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. And then the Essenes, there were scribes who penned down the Dead Sea Scrolls and preserved the Dead Sea Scrolls. And by the way, everything that they dig up just proves this Bible is right. Amen. And then you had the Zealots, and they the ones that sought by violence, by violent means to overthrow the Roman rule. And as we get into the book of Luke, we remember and recall that the Romans are in charge. Can I say this to you? They think they are. We've got a bunch in Washington, D.C. right now that thinks they're in charge. But I want to remind you, there's a throne that's not in the White House. It's the throne of God. And God, beloved, is still working in the affairs of men. And this morning I thought about all of this and thought about the times that we're living in. They really are times of uncertainty. Honestly, I went by Walgreens. I guess it's been about a week ago. I was going to spend a night up here at the church, and so I went by and I got a half a gallon of milk, and I got a box of Raisin Bran, and I got a bag of popcorn. You say, why'd you do that? Ain't none of your business. I got a bag of that Chick-a-Boom, whatever you call it, got a little bit of glaze on it, and I didn't eat the whole bag in one sitting. I took two. But anyway, I got that, and there was a little thing of breakfast cookies, and it was over $26. Honestly, and I said to the person working the cash register, I said, and they're supposed to be helping poor people. Honestly, you think about gas now, that we're living in uncertain times. You think about the people that yesterday morning got up in their homes and their businesses are a scrap heap. You can't even begin to salvage anything. I saw pictures of a Dollar General. That reminded me of a little joke my wife told me. She said a Dollar General bag was blowing through the air, and somebody said, grab it before it hits the ground and takes root. Amen. They're popping up everywhere. Amen. But I saw pictures of a Dollar General where the steel, the beams, were just twisted like pretzels and deformed as the storm came through, I think, Illinois and Kentucky and Arkansas and parts of Tennessee. I told my wife, I said, honey, we went to see the kids' Christmas program on Friday night in North Carolina. I said, what would it be like to come home, drive up our road in our home, Brother Steve? I try to enter into people's suffering a little bit. Amen. And I tell you one thing it'll do. If it don't do anything else, it'll make you more thankful. I appreciate where we live. We don't face a lot of things where we live that if you live on the coast or live on the plains where there's nothing to block anything. And I just want you to know we're living in uncertain times. We're living in uncertain times financially. You say, well, Pastor, not me. I got it made. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me right now. You can wake up one morning and that dollar not be worth a dime. It don't matter. I'm telling you, I believe before this thing's over, we're going to need one another. And that a little place to grow a garden will be worth more than $100,000 in the bank. We're living in uncertain times. You say, well, Pastor, how in the world are we supposed to get any encouragement out of that? How are we supposed to get any encouragement? We're living in uncertain times financially and politically. And we're living in uncertain times with our health. We're living in uncertain times. I tell you how. Begin to think about the things that are certain. The things that the book of Luke said that thou mightest know, he's writing to Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I want to give you something in the onset of the message today that I hope will be a blessing to you. You say, well, Pastor, this is talking about the time of the birth of Christ. You said there were some dark days and there was uncertainty in those days. Well, can I remind you of this? He's coming again. And I want you to see, even in the text, I hadn't caught this before, and it's the truth. You can read Luke 1 and read Luke 2, and you say, well, it's the Christmas story. And it is. But let me tell you this, it's more than just a story. Let me tell you this, beloved, there are names, there are places, there are things happening in these verses of Scripture that should bring awe to our hearts. And just as there are things that we're going to see that are certain in this first coming of Christ, I want you to see that they are also just as certain as we await the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 32 of chapter number 1. This is speaking of Jesus. Let's look at verse 31. I'll read verse 30 as well. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. I tell you, the other day I was listening to the chaplain of the Senate. The more I hear him, the more I like him. And he when he was praying, not at the funeral of Bob Dole, at the funeral of Bob Dole, he named the name of Jesus. But when he was praying in that politically correct atmosphere, when he got down to the end of his prayer, I think he probably did the best he could. He said, we pray in the name of the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. It brought back memories of prison when you couldn't go in there and preach against all those isms. But I would just get up and say, you can trust the one who couldn't get himself up if you want to, but I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. And then I would say, his name is Jesus. Look what the Word of God said. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Look at verse 32. He shall be great. Let me ask you this. Was he great? Is he great? Will he forever be great? The Word of God said, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Right? And the Lord God, look at this. In Luke chapter number 1, looking down through the ages, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Can I tell you something, beloved? He's coming back. And he's going to sit on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem, just like the Bible said. You say, Pastor, what is it that God has spoke to your heart about in these verses? I believe as they were on the threshold of the first coming of the Lord, there were things that were certain. As you and I are on the threshold of the second coming of the Lord, there are some things that are just as certain. First of all, I just want to say it like this. God has a people. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest, verse 5, named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Blameless. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Mary was highly favored. Elizabeth, beloved, God had not forgotten her. God had not forgotten Zacharias. God was going to give him a son. In the midst of the darkness, there was a remnant. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in verse 10. The Word of God said, Zacharias is on the inside of the temple, but look on the outside, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. I'm just telling you, beloved, when Jesus was coming the first time, God had a people. And when Jesus is coming the second time, God still has a people. This whole world ain't went to the dogs. There's still some people praying. There's still some people that are living righteous. There's still some people that are listening for the shout and the trumpet and looking for the Son of God to come in the air and living for him while they look for him. God has a people. If we're not careful, we'll forget that God said, I'm never going to leave myself without a witness. Beloved, God has a witness in every generation. And God has a people. We may be just a remnant, but thank God we're a remnant. Thank God in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the uncertainty, there's one thing you can be sure of. God has a people. Let me ask you this morning. Are you one of His? Because just as sure as God has a people, do you remember what Herod did? He tried to trick the wise men into helping him find Jesus and, oh, I want to worship Him. Yeah, you want to worship Him, all right. You want to kill Him. That's what you want to do. Beloved, let me tell you something. Just as sure as God has a people, the devil has a people too. Jesus looked at them and He said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a liar from the beginning, and He's the father of a lie. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We're living in a generation when there's more lies being told than's ever been told in this world. But thank God there's still a people that believe the truth. God has a people. The second thing I want you to see, and old Slewfoot would like for us to forget this, God cares for His people. I may not read all the verses this morning, but I'm going to tell you the story. Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth didn't have a child. In Bible days, that was considered like a reproach. There's a verse in there, as a matter of fact, where Elizabeth is praising God for taking away that reproach. Let me tell you something, beloved. While that Zacharias and Elizabeth did not have a baby, they just kept on doing what was right. They just kept on living righteous before God. They kept on serving God. And God, in His time, somebody help me. Beloved, I found out a long time ago, He don't operate on my time. There's things that I've prayed and asked God for that it's taken years to see come to fruition. But I do want you to be encouraged this morning that what it shows me, beloved, listen, how many times, the Bible doesn't say, but how many times has Zacharias, this holy man of God, prayed for his wife, oh God, let my wife bear a child. Take away this reproach. How many times, just like Hannah in the Bible in the Old Testament, how many times has she poured out, Elizabeth poured out her heart to God, said, oh God, please. I'm going to tell you something right now. Satan has won the battle if he can get you backed up in the corner and convince you that God does not care. There's never been a bigger lie told in all the world. God cares. Christmas is going to be a wonderful time, but it's going to be a tough time for a lot of people. And old Slewfoot's going to try his best to back you up in the corner and say, where's your God now? What I want you to realize is He's on the throne making intercession for you, and He cares for you. Amen. Just like He cared for Zacharias. Just like He cared for Elizabeth. I don't know about you this morning, but there's been times in my life I've wondered, God, where are you? Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. You remember? No wonder the Word of God said that Jesus wept. It broke His heart. Beloved, God has a people. God cares. He cares for His people. Let me give you this thirdly. I'm just giving you some things the Lord spoke to my heart about as I read this. And I didn't just read it. I read it over and over and over and even went to bed last night. I just discovered something. I just discovered that on my phone, I thought you had to have the tapes or the whatever, but I found it on my phone where I can let Alexander Scorby read the Word of God to me. So I just went to sleep listening to this read to me. You say, Pastor, what made you think to do that? I'll tell you why. I didn't know how to pronounce A-B-I-A. So I thought, Brother Steve, I'll listen to him. And he said, Abia, so I'm saying Abia. You say, Pastor, what are you going to do if he's wrong? I'm going to be wrong with him. I didn't know if you were supposed to say Abia. There's a lot of words I don't know. But it's Abia. And I listened to the Word of God. Here's what I want to give you thirdly in the message today. Not only does God care for His people, but listen to me carefully right here. This is important. God communicates with His people. I said God communicates with His people. The Bible said here, it came to pass in verse number 8, that while he executed the priest office before God in the order, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense, and he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. I'll say this to you, beloved. If we saw God's angels, it would trouble us too. I'm telling you, beloved, there's an air about them, a holiness about them. The Word of God said, But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. When's the last time that you can put your finger on it and say, I know God heard my prayer? The Word of God here is talking about a time when God is communicating through Gabriel with Zacharias. He's going to communicate with Mary through Gabriel as well. Watch now. He said, For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Oh, you remember when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. The Word of God said the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, John was so full on the inside, it couldn't stay on the inside. It filled her completely, the Spirit of God. I guess you shouldn't name names, but I'm going to. Sotomayor, if I could say her name right. One of the judges on the Supreme Court. Talking about the issue of abortion. She said you can walk up to a dead person and touch their foot and get a reaction. It'll flinch. You saw it, didn't you, Brother Grizzle? I can tell by looking at you. Likening that to a baby that's flinching from that pain in the mother's womb. I'm going to tell you something. We're in bad shape when people ain't got no more sense than that. When people can't read Psalm 139 and they can't understand, beloved, listen, that God, are you listening to me? It's looking on that youngin when it members are not even formed. And it's a life. You say, Pastor, don't you believe that a woman has a right to choose? Yep. Be good if they started making the right choice before they got pregnant. They don't have a right to take a life any more than I have a right to take a life. The Word of God is talking here about God communicating with His people. You say, well, Pastor, man, I'd give anything if the angel of the Lord would stand at my bedside tonight. You've got something more powerful than that. You've got a book. It's complete, Genesis to Revelation. And God is communicating with His people through this Holy Bible. Aren't you glad that we're not living in an age where God is silent, but He's speaking to us Hebrews. Let me turn there real quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. Turn there with me real quickly. There's a verse of Scripture I need to read. Hebrews chapter number 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners and spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You say, Pastor, He said He's spoken to us by His Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
What think ye of Jesus? You could ask yourself this question, what think you of this book? How important is Jesus? How important is this book? God, even before Jesus came, has come back through Matthew and Mark and Luke, and He's communicating with the people of God. I'll give you this. Not only does God have a people, and He cares for His people, and He communicates with His people. Listen, we need this. This is for the front row, Brother Steve. This is for this. God communicates through His people. God communicates to His people, but God communicates through His people. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at it. Look at verse number 16. The Word of God had said, and many of the children of Israel shall He turn to the Lord their God, and He shall go before Him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Glory to God, we ought to shout that the likes of Him can use the likes of us to communicate His message in the darkness that we live in. It's a blessing. We shouldn't flinch from that. We ought to say, thank God. Some of you all this morning, if you'd be sensitive to the Spirit of God, there'd have to be more done between now and the Christmas play. If you'd just be sensitive. Oh, you say, Pastor, I've got shopping to do. God's got something more important than shopping for us to do. That's communicating the message of His love, the message of His salvation, the message of His forgiveness to those who are around us. I'll give you this morning. It's not really a popular message, but God chastens His people. You say, Pastor, where did you get that in Luke chapter number 1? Look at verse 18 with me for just a moment. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. In other words, she's way past the time of, like Sarah was. How many believes Zacharias knew about Abraham and Sarah? You better believe it. But what he couldn't believe was that God's going to do it again. You know what we need to start praying? I hear people talking about the revivals, and I hear about people talking about days gone by. We need to start incorporating these words into our prayer life. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Let us see again, Lord, a day when sinners will walk the aisle. Let us see a day when saints will be reconciled one with another. Let us see a day when the shouting and praising of God is going on in the house of God once again. Let us see a day when we can turn the TV off and have a family altar. Let us see a day when we can gather the youngins around and read the Word of God to them again. Let us see a day. Let us see a day when it's no longer about ourselves, but it's about Him. You say, Pastor, God chastened? Yeah, I believe he did. Let's look at it. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, look at those next words, thou shalt be dumb. Here's a man that just come out of the temple. Here's a man that's serving God. Here's a man that's righteous before God. You say, now, Pastor, wait a minute. What in the world is going on here? Listen to what the Bible said. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Word of God said this, and whatsoever is not of faith is, somebody tell me the little three-letter word. What? Sin? You reckon God means that? I'm going to show you right here. Yes, you better believe He means it. Watch what the Word of God said. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things be performed, because thou went and got drunk. Because you went out with another man's wife. Because you believe not my words. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. I wish Brother Don was here to hear that. Some things never change. Some people are still marveling that the preacher takes so long in the temple. Say amen. And when he came out, you didn't have to, Brother David. And he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. God chastened Zacharias. He said, you're going to be dumb. You didn't believe me? I want to show you something here, if I can find it. We read verse 30 through verse 32. Verse 33, look at verse 33. He shall reign over the house of Jacob. This is the angel speaking to Mary. Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I want you to see a little bit of similarity, but a great big difference. Zechariah, when he was told the news, the Word of God said, whereby shall I know this? How can I know, Mr. Gabriel, that you're telling me the truth? You see, he didn't believe the message. Mary was not saying, how can I know you're telling me the truth? She's just saying, would you please tell me how this is going to take place? Because, you know, I'm old enough to know that, generally speaking, it takes a man and a woman to have a baby. She wasn't doubting him. She was believing him, but she just wanted, if he could, to tell her. And you know what? He didn't mind to tell her. The Holy Ghost is going to conceive in your womb. I was just trying to get you to see why Zacharias was chastened, but Mary was not. Mary was not doubting whether this would be, but Mary just wanted to know. And I'll tell you what, if I was a young lady, I'd want to know too. How in the world is this going to happen? And I tell you what I believe. I believe it happened just like the Bible said. And then the last thing in the message this morning. These things are certain. God has a people. I'm certain. God cares for His people. I'm certain. Are you? God communicates with His people. I'm certain of that. God communicates through His people. I'm certain of that. God chastens His people. I'm certain of that. Don't ask me how I know. Right, Brother Aaron? Me and you got it anyway, brother, if nobody else did. Amen. I'm glad that I had an earthly daddy that knew what the woodshed was and what it was for.
Amen.
And I mean this. I'm just as glad. God only knows where I'd be right now if I didn't have a Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That knew what the woodshed was.
Amen.
And what it's for. Those He loves, He chastens. And by the way, you can go into another text there and it says that if you're without chastisement, it uses that word that starts with a B. We've got young ears with us, but you're illegitimate. You're not really a child of God. So I wouldn't brag too much if you go through this world and you're never chastened of the Lord. I wouldn't brag about it. Amen. He loves you. He loves me. And the last thing is God comforts His people. Look in verse 57 with me, please. I won't be long. You can remain optimistic. You'd have to know Brother Don to know what I'm talking about. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. You all know that was common in the Bible, right? To name a son after his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." You say, "Pastor, I believe the whole time she's carrying this baby, she's never forgotten. God said his name will be John."
Amen.
And the word of God said here, "He shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." Remember, his ways are not our ways. And they made signs to his father how that he would have called him. And he asked for a writing table and he wrote. Glory. Oh, I love it, don't you? I tell you, God had chastened Zacharias, but Zacharias is fixing to hit the mountaintop again. He took that writing table and wrote down, "His name is John." And Gabriel and God said, "He believes us now." Look what the Word of God said. "His name is John." And they marveled all. Look at verse 64. "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." Do any of you all enter in at times into the Word of God? I don't know what Zacharias said, but I tell you this, he wasn't timid about saying it. I believe that he may have said something like, "Praise God! Praise God, honey, we have a son. God's going to use our son. God has already filled our son."
Amen.
I believe it wasn't too long till he said something like this. "God, I'm sorry I doubted you. God, help me to never do that again." I don't know those things, but I could imagine a man that had been through what Zacharias had been through. I believe he might have said something like this to those that were gathered around. "Youngest, if God tells you something, you can take it to the bank. You don't have to doubt God." And then he might have got into the next son that was on the way. "You think my son's something? You wait. We're not going to have to wait long. Mary and Elizabeth's already been talking. Amen. And God has promised her that the Son of God's living on the inside of her." My son, he's not the light, but he's going to be pointing people to the light.
Amen.
My son's not the lamb, but he'll stand on the banks of the Jordan River and cry, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I don't know about you this morning. When all that took place, I believe it was very comforting to Elizabeth. I mean, I don't know what Miss Eve would do if I couldn't talk to her for 9 months. Y'all hush. I thought I heard the word rejoice. It's Christmas, but it doesn't fit right there. Amen. I believe it was comforting to hear Zacharias' voice again. I believe it was comforting to hold that baby. And know. Are we going to go through Christmas dwelling on the uncertain? Or are we going to go through Christmas dwelling on the certain?
Amen.
I believe it'll help us, don't you?
Amen.
You say, "Well, I don't know if they're going to have that gift on the shelf or not." Well, Christmas is about the gift that was on the tree, not the one that's under the tree. It's about Jesus. How many's glad you come this morning? I don't know about you. This book is precious, isn't it? It's precious. Hope you'll take the time to read the Christmas story over Christmas with your family. Hope you'll take the time to pray with your family. Hope you'll take the time to look around at your family and say, "I don't want the family circle to be broken in heaven. I want all of us to get there. All of us to be together." Let's bow for prayer. Get ready with an invitation. Father in heaven, I know that we're living in uncertain times, uncertain days. And I know, dear Father, that only you know what the future holds. But Lord, our comfort is found in knowing who holds the future. Lord, nothing ever takes you by surprise. Lord, you're not nervous about the condition of things in the world. I believe we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. Lord, some aren't ready. Some have never been born again. Never cried out to God for mercy. God, the greatest Christmas gift that a person could ever receive is the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, if there's someone here today that's troubled, someone here today, our Lord, that been dwelling on the uncertainty, God, would you give them grace to dwell on the certain, to realize our Father, the goodness of God. Help us, we do pray. Help our country, Lord. God, we're being pulled apart by wickedness. I pray, O God, that you would help us. Help us, our Lord. Help us, we pray. We need help. Help us. Let's stand together. If you need this altar this morning, if you're not saved, come.